The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. It is a good Tuesday. I was supposed to be with you yesterday, so thanks to Jordan Hamm for jumping on board. I was in Florida for the last few days and got trapped in the storms down there. And so yesterday was a travel day to get back. But we are back at it today. Bruce Cooper is going to jump on board with us today. Coop is, of course, the former Valley legend sportscaster who has turned draft Nick, and he's also doing work with St. Vincent de Paul. So I want to catch up with Bruce on what the Cardinals did this morning, the idea of bringing in James Conner. They have agreed to terms with James Conner. James Conner is supposed to speak later this morning. We'll talk about the Cardinal running back. That is with Coop. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate Jeff Mishi and the people at Desert Financial and their support. We are self-funded. That means the people that you see during the commercials, they believe in what we are doing. We're 9 years into doing this, and we love doing it day in and day out. Tonight, our show is on Fox Sports Arizona, now known as Bally Sports, before and after the Suns, who play tonight. So there you go. All right, so I guess because the most recent news is James Conner signing with the Cardinals. And I am not overwhelmed by this signing. I get this signing. It's not like you look around and there were a ton of running back options in the free agent market for the Cardinals. I don't know the financial terms of this as of yet. So you look at it on the surface and say, all right, so they have somebody who's with James with Chase Edmonds. Kenyon Drake, to me, was a better runner and a more physical runner than James Conner. James Conner has had some good seasons in Pittsburgh. James Conner has put up some nice yards. James Conner's had a hard time staying healthy, okay? And James Conner's story is terrific. If you're not familiar with the James Conner story and his battle off the field, you will learn much more here in the coming days. It's terrific. But we're in the business of production, and the combination of James Conner to go along with Chase Edmonds, is it going to be a better 1-2 combo than Kenyon Drake? That remains to be seen, as they like to say. I know this, that if the offseason of the Cardinals were to be graded today, I would give it about a B- to a C. I am not one of those that can sit here with full confidence and say, hey, J.J. Watt's going to be terrific. He's going to be the same J.J. Watt that he was for years past. Look at the games that were missed. Look at the amount of production. I think if you were to go up and down the list of their free agent signees, their best one to me is Rodney Hudson, because the center position was definitely upgraded. I don't know how much gas the tank A.J. Green has. I really don't. Anybody who's like, oh my gosh, this is such a terrific signing, really? Okay, well, let's see. Let's just see. It could turn out to be an absolutely great class, or it could be a class that's wrecked with injuries, because they are going with the veteran route. Clearly, they're sending the message out of, we believe that we could compete this year, and we're going to sign some guys who are going to generate interest with fans. The best way to generate interest with fans and fill out your roster is to win. Make the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. That's it. So I don't hate this signing, but I'm not going to sit here today and say this is the greatest signing that we have seen come across the Cardinals to solve all things. The draft is 3 weeks away. And in my view, the best player in the draft plays a position that the Cardinals desperately need help at. And if you look at tight ends, if you look at what Travis Kelce has done, or you go look at Rob Gronkowski and what he did. And so you look at Kyle Pitts at Florida, and he's not going to be there in the middle part of the first round. I understand that. But if Steve Keim really wanted to win the draft, to me, because, yeah, you can make the argument, and I will make the argument, they need help in the secondary. They always, it feels like, need help in the secondary on the offensive line. Go out and draft a wide receiver in the middle of the first round. Do you really believe you've bolstered your secondary enough? Do you really believe there's a game-changing tight end? It's not like Steve's adverse to going out and making big moves. He loves doing that. So to me, 3 weeks before the draft, if you trade up and get Kyle Pitts out of Florida, I am doing backflips, even though it'd be really hard to do at 6'8". I think that'd be a terrific pickup for them. So that's what's going on the front with the Cardinals. They do make the James Conner signing official. The Suns. So how can I put this? It's regular season basketball against a team that's just not good. Houston's not good. You look at the final score and you see the Suns won by 6 last night. I'm watching the first half and I'm thinking they're not missing. It's one of those nights against a bad team that's undermanned. There's lots of those teams in the NBA. And so the Suns hit an NBA record 18 threes in the first half. Jay Crowder's out there bombing away and actually led them in scoring. How many times is that going to happen? And so it was what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to beat teams like Houston. You're supposed to win those games. What I like about Monty Williams after the game is he wasn't enamored with his team's performance. He's actually disappointed in the way they finished out the games. Yeah, I am one of those that's right alongside the head coach. Like, you look at how Monty has come in here and just changed the whole... Yeah, it helps to have Chris Paul. I get that. But we're not getting the rah-rah, cheer-cheer, everything is great. It's, yeah, we're closing in on the best record in the NBA, and we didn't play well tonight. And you know what? We should not tolerate wins where we have to scuffle along and barely get the victory. And so they play Miami tonight. And again, they're closing on the best record in the league. But I just liked how Monty's demeanor was after the game last night. And I also like seeing somebody other than Devin get up there in points. I did. And I liked how their bench played last night. The bench had over 40 points. So there's a lot of positives with the Suns. But the one that jumped out at me was the coach not being satisfied. Madison Bumgarner. Actually, I need to take a break because I can't do the Madison conversation in just a couple of minutes. This is a real problem for the Diamondbacks, whether they want to admit to it or not. It is on my radar. Also, there's been some movement on gambling being legalized for gamers. We will get into that. And then Coop and I, that is all straight ahead as we continue on here on Sports360AZ.com. All right, before we get into the Diamondbacks, and Coop comes up with us on James Conner and Cardinals and all that stuff, he and I are going to argue for sure, Bruce Cooper and I. That comes up in about 7 minutes. So the Senate passed a bill to allow Arizonans for the first time to legally bet on fantasy sports and events, wagering on events. The legislation gives parties other than tribes to conduct these games, including pro sports teams here in Arizona. Tribes could also operate fantasy sports and event betting on mobile apps outside of the reservation. The GOP-led House Bill 2772, bipartisan support on all this. Tucson Democrat Victoria Steele, she was all over this yesterday.
22 Arizona tribes have approved and ratified the proposed Arizona Tribal Gaming Compact amendments and this legislation.
So when she looked at this,
bottom line, this means jobs and revenue for places that need it most in our state, including for our critical work on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, for community health centers and substance abuse treatment centers.
Okay, so there's going to be some people that are going to look at this and say, are you kidding me? This is you're going to drag everything in? Yeah, because this is going to open up more revenue within the communities. This is a good thing, in my opinion. This is where it's going. You are going to be able to go to a game, okay, and probably going to be by this by football season this year here in our state. You're going to be able to go, let's just use the Cardinals. You're going to be able to go to the Cardinal game, and you're going to have your phone, and you're going to swipe your tickets, and you're going to go on in. And you're going to have a betting app. You're going to have an app that may be tied to Harrah's through Caesars, okay? And you're going to sit down and before the game starts, and you're going to say, I think the Cardinals are going to win this game, and you're going to put down your bet, and you're going to push send. Or, this is where it's going, or you're going to sit there in the middle of the first quarter and say, Kyler Murray's going to throw 2 more touchdowns in this quarter. I'm going to put $20 on that. Send. You're going to be able to do it all from right here. That's coming. That's coming in like the next 6 months, 7 months. you're going to be able to bet on prop bets. I think that DeAndre Hopkins will have more rushing yards than Chase Edmonds. Okay, you want to throw your money away? Do it and send. I think Chandler Jones will have more sacks than J.J. Watt. Send. Now, the downside is I've worked with compulsive gamblers before, one in particular, and it's not pretty. It's not. And there's going to be people that like to, they will play all sorts of games to try to make money immediately, and they shouldn't do it. So you have to be responsible when you go down this path. And I am big on this because I see where fantasy, when we do Michael Fabiano, people love it. Can't get enough fantasy. When I talk to Jimmy Vaccaro, people love it. We cannot get enough of that. And so for it to be coming right here to Arizona, if you want to put money down on the Suns next year when this all gets pushed through, you'll be able to do it. Coyotes, NASCAR. So it's going to be a game changer, I think, for years and years to come. But with like anything, how do you monitor kids? You know, how do you not let kids get involved in that? Mom loads up, dad loads up $100 and says, hey, you can go spend some money with your friends. You're 14. Can't do that. So there's going to be some regulation around this. Got to be some regulation around this. But it's coming. And I think the fact that we're at this point is good for sports. To pretend like, oh, no, this can't happen. I'm not listening to this. No, it's here. It's happening yesterday. Last night, actually, was a big step forward. Now to the Diamondbacks. Mad Bum's not good. He's just not. His ERA is 11.2 now. And last night it was the same deal. Now there are some fans that said he had some poor defense behind him and so on. So look, all I know is at the end of the day, when you go 4 2/3 and you throw 98 pitches in 4 2/3, you're not winning many games. And the Diamondbacks are on the hook for 3 more years on this deal. Now, he said after the game, he feels like he's this close. Well, how many starts do you go? Obviously, you can't pull him now. Of course, Torey Lovello is going to say, we believe in him because they have so much money tied up. It's another thing if it's your fourth starter or fifth starter and say, yeah, we got to look at that situation. We may need to give him a mental break, so on and so forth. But no, all Torey can say is, yeah, we believe in Mad Bum. And all Mad Bum can say is, I think I'm this close to getting it done. And I look at this signing and say, gosh almighty, how many of these do we have to have? Like, this organization, go back to the Russ Ortiz signing. Okay? Did I just throw a name that sent chills up your guy's spine? And I know Russ, and I like Russ. But that was one of the worst signings in the history of this team. And Mad Bum is right there. He's closing in. Not at the number of Russ, you know, not at 3 at 46. But and I don't begrudge the player. It's just when these teams are like, they're going to put so much out there. And Zach Gallen is pitching today. And so for me to see Zach on the hill, that's the guy that should be the ace. And you want Mad Bum to get better because somebody will take that contract off the Diamondbacks' hands. I don't see any way he stays here for 3 years at the way this is going. If he starts to turn things around, move him. You're not winning the division. You're going to struggle to make the wild card. And it's just when you've got so much money tied up in one player who's not being productive, it's not good. It just isn't. And so the question of what do you do, it's pretty simple. You can't do anything but run him out there every fifth day, hope he gets it turned around, and then trade him. Get it, get him done. Get him out of here, all right? Coop and I chopping it up. The Cardinals have signed James Connor. Good move, bad move. What about Fitz? What about the draft and much more? Bruce Cooper, that's next. All right, as promised, because the last time I had Coop on, people said it was so good to hear you two chop it up because we don't sit there and say everything is kumbaya and it's the greatest thing ever. But, and Bruce is so passionate about the NFL draft, it's just 3 weeks away. So Bruce Cooper back with us with St. Vincent de Paul, among other things. It is good to see you. Let's just start with the news of the day. James Connor, The Arizona Cardinals bring James Conner in and they sign him. Is this an upgrade over Kenyon Drake?
Absolutely not. And don't even be fooled by that at all. Look, you got to love the story of James Conner. I mean, they're at Penn State. Pitt overcomes the cancer and has a great season in Pittsburgh. But, you know, since his breakout year with the Steelers, I mean, every year he's had durability issues. And then when you look at his game from just a pure talent standpoint, there's nothing really that wows you. There's not that breakaway speed, the elusiveness, the quick feet, the vision. He's just a downhill, hard-nosed runner that, you know, has had trouble staying healthy. Yeah. So this is not an upgrade over Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake was the type of guy that if you gave him a seam, he could take it to the house. He can make a house call at any point on the field. They both catch the ball well out of the backfield, but make no mistake about it, Brad, this is not an upgrade. I don't like the move at all. And let me tell you, because
What would you have liked in the running backs? Who would you have liked? Come on, Brad, they should have gone this direction. Why did they go this way? Who would you have wanted?
Well, Brad, there's no one in free agency that's
right
at this point.
Right.
So Brett, this is what they have to do. They have to concentrate on the draft. And as you know, there are, I think, three outstanding running backs in this draft. And they've been headlined. There's no secret as to who they are. Najee Harris, who absolutely showed out at his pro day at Alabama. I mean, I didn't know the guy was so proficient at catching the ball. He's extremely gifted. Looked like he cut about 10, 15 pounds. I mean, he was showing some wiggle that I didn't know he had as well. And then there's obviously Travis Etienne, and then Javonte Williams, who I like a lot out of North Carolina. Those guys, either one of those three, would have upgraded the Cardinals running back standpoint from where they stand right now with James Conner.
Okay, so, but Bruce, if you take a running back, and I'm assuming you're not saying with a first round pick, or are you? Because I am dead set against running backs. Their lifespan is 3 years, maybe.
Brad, I have no problem with taking a running back in the first round.
Really?
Let me put it to you like this. Do you think anyone would balk at Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott? I mean, and then you look at teams that passed on people like Emmitt Smith in the draft. And all he is the best all time. You know, look, from the Cardinals standpoint, drafting at 16 – if you don't take a running back at 16, you come back at what, 48, 49 in the second round? Those guys are gone.
You've got to take somebody on the defense, Coop. I mean, look, the secondary of this team, are you telling me that J.J. Watt's pass rush is going to make up for all the inequities back there? You've got to go defense, Bruce.
What I'm telling you, Brad, is that the draft at corner is much deeper and more quality than the draft at running back. I'm telling you, just as sure as you're born, Brad says, man, I can get me a corner in the second round that will get me the same type of value that you're talking about getting at 16. Now, let's keep in mind, you know the three corners everyone's talking about. Yeah. Patrick Surtain, Alabama, Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech, and J.C. Horn, South Carolina. Now, I'll tell you this. J.C. Horn showed up and showed out at his pro day, so much so that when you look at when you couple in the fact that Caleb Farley didn't participate in his pro day because he had back surgery. They call it minor back surgery, but red flag for me there, Brad, is that it's the second such back surgery he's had in his career.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. So I'm going to tell you, here in Pac-12 country, we've seen a lot of football over the years. And I'm telling you, Paulson Adebo from Stanford, he's a guy I would have taken in the second round. Look at his number, Brad. As a redshirt freshman in 2018, the guy had, I believe, 24 pass breakups, 4 interceptions, came back the next year, 10 pass breakups, 4 interceptions. So people were and he opted out this past year. So people are beginning to say that, man, this guy makes a lot of plays on balls in the air. But what's his hands? I mean, it's a lot of pass breakups and not more interceptions. Oh, man, at his pro day, ran a 4.42 and just made outstanding catches all over the field. So he answered a lot of questions. And I'm going to tell you another question, Brad. The pro day is not an exact science, but this kid showed some athleticism. He showed some ball awareness. Those are the questions that people needed to ask. And then Cardinals already have two defensive backs on their roster from the University of Washington. There's Keith Taylor, another guy that would play out very well for the Cardinals in the secondary. So, Brad, I'm not worried about that secondary issue.
Every year there's a worry about. Okay, all right. Coop is with us for a couple of minutes. give me the player, and I'll tell you, I want Steve Keim to trade up and go get Pitts. That's what I want. I want buzz and sizzle if I'm looking at the player. But if I'm sitting here saying a running back at 16, now they have James Conner and Chase Edmonds, I think they're going to be okay. I'm saying okay. Okay. I would rather them go on the defensive side of the football. I know that going up and getting Kyle Pitts is a reach and a half, but he's the best player, in my opinion, that's not a quarterback in this draft. I would love to see him in this offense. Wouldn't you?
Brad, I'm not going to argue with you one bit on that. Absolutely. Let me tell you what a Kyle Pitts would do. And we saw how defenses this past year always try to roll a safety over the top of DeAndre Hopkins, take him out. When you add a guy that can run down the seam, a guy that is a mismatch for any linebacker, you try to put a safety over there. Look, he's going to open up the secondary and allow Hopkins that one-on-one coverage, more one-on-one coverage, same with AJ Green or Christian Kirk or whatever. He just gives the Cardinals, or defensive coordinators, I should say, opposing defensive coordinators, more nightmares. Nightmare matchups is what the Cardinals would create by adding a guy like Kyle Pitts. So, Brad, I can't argue that at all. Matter of fact, if that happened, I'd probably run up and down the street waving a Cardinal banner. I'd love to see it.
So, but if Steve Keim were to trade up, because you are in that unique spot where you're sitting there, there's going to be teams that don't need a quarterback that are going to be sitting there around 5, 6, 7. And if they don't need a quarterback and the Cardinals don't need a quarterback, and Steve has shown the propensity, Bruce, to roll the dice, to be a riverboat gambler, you go make a move like that, you're going to have the valley on their ear even more so than where they are right now. If you stay at 16, you're not going to get Pitts. So to me, going running back, as you've suggested, it's ludicrous, Bruce. Come on, you got to go defense there.
No, Brett, I'm not saying that the Cardinals should take a running back at 16 necessarily.
What are you saying?
What I'm telling you, because you know in my last draft, mock draft that I had them making the trade with the New York Jets.
Yep.
Okay. If I made that play with the Jets, not only am I picking up extra assets, but at the top of the second round now, I could take whatever running back is there and then come back with a corner. But if I stay at 16, hey, look, it's possible that a receiver like Jalen Waddle could fall to you. And the scenario you talked about, trading up for Kyle Pitts. Look, if the Cardinals were able to get that, you know what they would, their offense would remind me of? The Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, you have the Tyreek Hill, and then they have other receivers like Robinson or Williams, and then we have that all-world tight end Travis Kelce. It's a nightmare matchup. That's what you create, and Patrick Mahomes is just slinging the ball around. He can even throw the ball out of the backfield to his Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Williams when he was there. It is a nightmare type of an offense for anyone to try to match up against. I see the Cardinals having a similar style type offense if they get the Kyle Pitts, the trade that you're talking about, Brad. I would absolutely love it. I can't argue that at all.
All right. Coop is with us. You're all fired up today, which I like. The draft is 3 weeks away. You've been watching this stuff closely. And are there some players, a couple players that you look at and you say, it doesn't matter if it's later rounds, Bruce, because you've been following it, that you say, you know, Brad, I would like to see them pursue this position and this player later on in the draft?
Well, absolutely. I mean, there is a guy that there's a wide receiver from North Texas. And yeah, he said, who? What? Yeah, tiny North Texas that you like. And his name is Jalen Darden. I think he is the shiftiest, most elusive player in this draft. This kid has played he played quarterback in high school, so he can give you that element too. From maybe use a gimmick as him as a quarterback on some little hitch play. He's a very gifted punt returner as well. So you'll hear the names like Tutu Atwell from Louisville, or you'll hear Kadarius Toney from Florida. And these are players that played at higher profile schools that people say this is the guy. Even Elijah Moore, a receiver I like as well, out of Mississippi. These guys get all the acclaim, they get all the pub, and this kid, I'm telling you, Jalen Darden, he flies under the radar. But this kid will be a better receiver if he gets in the right system than any of those three that I just talked about. And that's all anyone talks about is those guys as the second tier guys. Okay. So I like Jalen Darden a lot. And look, I didn't expect the Cardinals to go out and trade for a Rodney Hudson or anything. I like the kid Quinn Miners from Wisconsin Whitewater Division III school as a Cardinals center going forward. Then there's this big 6'9" offensive tackle, Spencer Brown from Northern Iowa, because I didn't see the Cardinals re-signing Kelvin Beecham. But they went and did all those things. So it's almost made taking any offensive lineman early in the draft moot or even coming that way. So I think the Cardinals definitely need to concentrate on the defensive side of the ball. And then I'm going to give you another guy I like, Brad, a lot.
Yeah.
Running back from Kansas. His name is Puka Williams. Who? Yeah. Kansas? Yeah, what? This kid, quick-footed, very gifted catching the ball out of the backfield, and he can make a house call at any point on the field. So Puka Williams, Jalen Darden, listen for those names. Those are my dark horse under the radar guys.
Okay. All right. Before I get you out of here, two things, and I got about a minute.
Okay.
Do you like what the Cardinals have done in free agency, top to bottom?
I do. I mean, save the James Conner. I really do. I mean, who wouldn't like a J.J. Watt? I mean, what he's going to bring to the locker room. And I'm telling you, don't fall asleep on A.J. Green, one of the best receivers in football before he had some injury issues. But we're not talking about any career threatening injuries. And so the guy's only, 32, 33 years old. Look, he's got a lot of football left. I expect him to have a really standout season for the Cardinals. But yes, I like what the Cardinals have done in free agency. The Rodney Hudson thing just really blew me away. I'm like, well, yeah. What is Steve Keim doing? I mean, the guy is just all over. So kudos to Keim. I like everything he's done, save the James Conner.
Okay, so what do you make out of what Fitz is doing right now?
Well, Brent, this is just my opinion. I have no intel on this at all. But since he's an unrestricted free agent, there's a guy that could pick up a telephone, let's say it's B.A., you know, Bruce Arians. Let's say it's Byron Leftwich. Pick up a call and say, hey, look, man, we would love to see you end your career with a ring. Tom Brady, when he picks up a phone call. I mean, I really believe he's been made, that phone calls have been made to him on multiple accounts to join the Bucks. But then I think he knows what he means here to Arizona. Now he's seeing some of the moves that Steve Keim has made, some that probably surprised him. So now he's going to say, do I think the Arizona Cardinals really have as good a chance as Tampa Bay at getting that ring? And I think it's really one of those situations because, look, as he's shown the last 4 or 5 years when we played this same dance, song and dance, he lets us know prior to the Super Bowl. He didn't this time. We're still waiting. I think it's one of those things, and I wouldn't be surprised, Brad, at all, to see at the end of the day that he says, you know what, I'm good. Bye.
Yeah, see, I guess, and I said only a minute, but I'm going to make some extra time here. I just feel like if he's already waited this long, he would have already said bye. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you on the Buccaneers part, Bruce. I think what the Cardinals have done here, when they went out and they spent the money on A.J. Green, and they've just been spending money following, they've even extended a player, that tells me they extended Hudson. That tells me that Larry should know what their money situation is at this point. So I really don't know why we're still sitting here in the middle of April. I really don't.
Well, Brad, the Cardinals can they can create more money to sign him. I mean, they can go to like a Chandler Jones, extend him, and give him a bonus to, you know, spread out money and create more money for Larry. Look, one thing the Cardinals don't want to do, and Michael Bidwell is smart enough to do this, you do not push the iconic Larry Fitzgerald out the door. You give him every opportunity, every chance that he wants to come back. And if he so chooses to leave the chase of ring, so be it. But I think Michael Bidwell and the Cardinals are doing everything they can to align themselves and put themselves in the position to compete for a ring.
But you know this, Bruce. It's Steve Nash at the end needed to go. Luis Gonzalez at the end had nothing left in the tank. It never ends well for the super, super, superstars. So if you try to force the issue, then it's almost an embarrassment to them to be out there doing nothing in their final year, right? I agree with, Bruce, I agree with your premise. But you also have to be looking at it and saying, it's been a great run, Larry, and you know that you're going to go in the Ring of Honor here. We know where this is all heading, but we just have to move on. It was not easy with Steve Nash. It was not, but it was the right move. Right. And in Gonzo, it was the right move.
Brad, I think that Larry still has something left in the tank because of these right here, the hands. He came into the NFL in 2004 with, you know, one of the best pair of hands in football. As we sit here in 2021, he still has two of the best pair of hands in football. But the problem is, Brad, is how he's being utilized. He's being utilized on these bubble screens, catch the ball, run after catch. That's not Larry Fitzgerald. You know, put the man in situations. He's an extremely smart and cerebral player. He knows how to run some of those intermediate routes and those red zone opportunities. This guy could, I could see him with like a 50 catch season, but Brad, like 9-10 touchdowns. Why? Because you've used them in the right places there. I mean, I just think he's been misused. I don't like the way Cliff Kingsbury uses him, and so that would frustrate me if I was Larry Fitzgerald. Going to Tampa where Tom Brady could and Bruce Arians like to stretch the field a little bit, have him run some underneath routes, and not these little 5-yard outs or these little wide receiver screens. Yeah, all of a sudden you wouldn't be saying that, hey, I think he's past his prime.
All right, let's go off that. What are you doing at St. Vincent de Paul this week? You have anything big going on? Or are you just doing your thing?
Yeah, you know, it's Oral Cancer Awareness Month. And so I'm in the dental clinic with the and I'm working two stories. One on a woman who survived oral cancer, and she's had the surgery and the radiation, the chemo, and now she's doing well. And then I'm doing another story on a dentist who has a practice in Goodyear, but he donates his time twice a month to see patients over at St. Vincent de Paul. So yeah, that's what I'm working on this week, Brent.
That's awesome stuff. There's Bruce Cooper with St. Vincent de Paul. It's always good to see the Valley legend with us for a few minutes, and we're back with more after this timeout.